This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
Jones and Keefe here on a mock draft Monday. We just went over a mock with the Patriots taking Mason Graham at 4, trading back up and getting an offensive lineman in the 20s. Kelvin Banks out of Texas. How would you feel about that? If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go, even if you live in a van driving up and down the East Coast all the way out to Vegas.
Amazing.
Odyssey app comes in pristine.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about that. We talked some Red Sox off the start of the show. We'll get back to the Masters as well. Jaylen Brown and his injury concerns seem, to me, significant. I know Mazzulla tried to explain this away after the game yesterday. This is all part of the plan. Jaylen knows his body better than anybody else. He's going to be ready to go come playoff time, which I believe. I mean, I think he'll be playing in the first game of the postseason, whoever they get. But how's he going to look? What percentage is he playing at? How hurt is he? Ramona Shelburne had a report over the weekend at ESPN. She writes, Celtics all-star forward Jaylen Brown received pain management injections in his troublesome right knee this week in an effort to promote healing before Boston begins its title defense. League sources tell ESPN he's expected to be ready for the start of the first-round playoff series either April 19th or 20th, which is this weekend. Last year's MVP has been dealing with a bone bruise. I'm sorry, finals MVP. Has been dealing with a bone bruise in his knee for some time, and it appeared to be causing him more pain recently. Didn't play in the second half against the Knicks, sat out against the Magic, blah, 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 blah. So pain management injections in his knee to get him ready for the start of the postseason. Is it time to worry about Jaylen and his health?
Yeah, 100%, because when we've seen him out there, he also hasn't looked great. Right? Like, we've seen him have some tough games, and they're trying to hit that minutes threshold, because they can say whatever they want, but there was a time where they were trying to qualify him for offseason awards, including All-NBA. He needed two more games to do it, and with two games left, we were thinking, man, they're just going to go for this, give him 15 minutes, and he's still going to miss out. But then they shut it down, and I don't know if part of it was because of the criticism or part of it was because the way he looked in the two previous games where he just hit his threshold of 20 minutes, where he went 22 minutes against Washington and really was nothing special, and then had a pretty bad game against the Knicks, the game that Tatum forced overtime, then won in overtime. He played 22 minutes, had 6 points, and was not very effective.
No, he wasn't effective, and he didn't play down the stretch right when the game mattered.
Oh, fourth quarter in overtime, he was out.
The significant tell that either they were holding him out to get to the 65-game threshold, or...
And Mazzulla had a weird line in there, like, we did what we needed to, or kind of thing.
Yeah, or he did something in that game. Like, is it possible he tweaked because he got the shot after that?
Yeah, and so, like, if you're injecting him for these games down the stretch, I feel like you could sit him out even longer. They don't play until Sunday, and that's going to be against the Magic or the Hawks, and it's going to be this drawn-out, probably four-game series. I don't think they're going to need much more than that, with or without Jaylen. And if they're shooting up the knee already, I'd give him as much time off as possible. So because of all that, and he's talked about the pain that he's going through, I don't know how you're not at least a little concerned with it. He's clearly not 100% going into the playoffs.
Jaylen has not played 30-plus minutes. I'm sorry. He reached 30 minutes once. It was exactly 30 against San Antonio on March 29th. He has not topped 30 minutes in a game since March 12th.
Yeah, that was over a month ago, and he was bad in that game, too. That was the Thunder game.
It's a good point.
That's the Thunder loss.
It's the last he played 38 minutes, and he was bad in that game. The Celtics had a brutal loss in that game. So he has not topped 30 minutes since then?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be cause for concern. Do you know in the month of March, I think March he averaged 18 points a game. And then in April, it was 19, because he did have one big scoring game against Phoenix. But over he just hasn't really been the same guy in a while.
So, I mean, I wonder if going for the threshold, meaning 65 games and hitting the minimum 20 minutes against New York, and I think he was, I agree with you, Keith, angling for the 15-minute minimum in each of these last two games against Charlotte, I wonder if he did something to, like, to not to, like, keep himself out, but just exacerbate the injury, make it worse. I know the Celtics are saying they're not worried about it, but I think they're worried about it. I'm worried about it. And by the way, they don't need him against who could they possibly
Atlanta
play?
Atlanta or Orlando.
That's Atlanta, the first round. That is the first round matchup. You're right.
So they play tomorrow.
The winner of that.
Yep.
They'll get the winner of that game.
That's it.
You don't need Jalen against those teams. So I'm not trying to drum it up like they need him immediately, but they're going to need him at some point. And if he's getting injections in his knee and he possibly made it worse over the last couple of weeks, yeah, I think long term that could be bad news for the Celtics, because I don't think they need Kristaps Porzingis to win a title, even if it's the Thunder on the other side. I don't think you need him against OKC. I think he's most important against OKC. I don't think you need him. Jaylen Brown, to me, you're going to need him against Cleveland.
Yeah.
You're going to need him against OKC or whomever coming out of the West, the Lakers or whatever, on the other side. You're not winning a title without Jalen. You can win a round or two.
Yeah.
You're not winning a title without him.
It might be as simple as this.
Without him is over-dramatizing it.
Jalen is
50, 60, 75%. You're not winning a title.
I think, I feel pretty confident in this. The first round, so they have six main guys, right? Mm-hmm. Seven? Well, let's call it seven.
You want Chuck Hauser in there?
Pritchard. Right? That's seven guys. Like, if they're all healthy.
I'm sorry. Pritchard and, sorry.
So they have seven main guys. Yeah, Hauser's probably eighth, Cornette ninth or whatever. So there's seven main guys. I think you could be down three and still win the first round. You can be down two, win the second round. You can be down one and beat Cleveland.
But it matters who that is. If Jalen's out, let's really take it to its limits.
If they play, if no Jalen against Cleveland.
Jalen's out against Cleveland, they don't win that series.
Everybody else is playing?
Yeah.
Porzingis plays the whole series?
Sure.
I think I could still win that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm concerned. And I don't think Jalen's going to actually sit for playoff games. I would have no problem if he sat against Atlanta or Orlando. I don't think he's going to actually sit.
No, but it can be
worse.
How's
he going to look at what percentage is he playing? I totally agree.
It's worse when you're like, no, he'll figure it out, or he'll snap out of it, rather than just not having him and the team like knows they don't have him. We've seen it in all sports where they kind of trot a guy out there like, oh, Gronk's going to be a decoy. It's like, well, that doesn't work.
Well, and it's worse on two levels. I mean, number one, you have a guy out there not himself.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, is he still getting plays run for him? Is he hoisting up shots that hurt the team? And there's also, he's not going to get any healthier. Like, if you're out there and you're playing and you're not 100%, you're not getting better. Whereas if you're resting, in theory, you're getting better. So is it time to start getting worried about Jalen and his knee? 617-779-7937. I would say yes. Rona Shelburne with the report.
Mm-hmm.
He got injections this week in that knee to get him ready for the postseason. I would not characterize that as good news, despite what Joe Mazzulla and the organization was saying coming out of that game.
Feels like it's going to be a story throughout the playoffs, no matter what, right? Because either it looks good and you're like, oh, phew, but then just right around the corner there could be another. Not that it's the same injury, but like Porzingis last year, like there was that, all right, he's out there, but he might not always be out there. It's like, they can use him. Oh, he's back. Nope, and he's out. So, like, feels like Jalen will be out there more than Porzingis was. But, like, to what? I mean, he was legitimately the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals MVP last year.
Yeah, he was pretty important last year.
He was.
And now he's not 100% going into the postseason. What is he? I don't know. But it's not 100%. So your thoughts on that again, 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Keith, they wrap up the regular season yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Another massive final day of the year for Peyton Pritchard. He's had three of those in a row. They finished 61-21, three games out of first behind Cleveland. They finish with the third most wins in the NBA. They finish with the third best scoring differential in the NBA. They actually closed the gap on Cleveland quite a bit. OKC ran away with it, 68 wins and almost plus 13. In the scoring differential column. If you had to take a step back and look at the Celtics in their regular season, are you happy with how the regular season went? Two seed, third most wins in the league, third best scoring differential. Is that satisfactory? Or do you look at it and go, they weren't even the best team in the conference? We thought they'd be making a run at one of the best seasons in franchise history. and they couldn't even pull out the one seed in the East. How do you view their regular season?
Yeah, it was a little surprising to me that they didn't have more wins. I think it's kind of related to our previous conversation where I would have felt a lot better if they were 61, but Jaylen Brown was fully healthy. Meaning, like, that was sort of the idea with this team when you brought every single player back from a title team was just get through the year healthy. And the guys we were looking at were more Porzingis, Holiday, Horford than any of the younger guys. But I would have felt, even if they had, like, a three or four less wins, but they were locked in and you knew everybody was full go 100%, right, you'd be like, all right, they played this year, but they also were managing the season to get ready for the playoffs. So they did a little bit better because there was a time where they were on pace to have 55, 56.
Yeah, mid-50s.
So they did kind of snap out of it a little bit. I was looking this up too. The Pierce, Garnett, Allen teams.
They only did back-to-back 60-win teams once, and it was 08-09, right?
So they, so they won 66 their first year together, which was still the best, and it's the best since in a long time. They won 62 the next year. Then they won 50, then they won 56. So this team going 64-61, it's very much in that ballpark, though. Like, those teams never really ran away and hid with it. I also think once you've established yourself, it isn't the most important thing to be the one seed, right? Tim Duncan, Spurs, were not always the one seed. LeBron, certainly, you can go through all the time that he's been there, all his different teams. They weren't the one seed, but they could get to the finals. I just thought they would, like, on sheer talent, not even, like, going for it. I thought, like, every night they'd be so much better than the other team that they would have had, like, 65 wins.
So I'm not happy with the regular season. Like, they finished on an upswing, 19 out of 22.
Yeah.
I think it was 14 out of 16, 5 out of 6. However, you know, you do look at their losses mixed in there. I would explain away Miami and certainly Orlando to a degree, but two of the teams they played down the stretch are the two biggest teams they got to worry about, Cleveland and OKC. Mm-hmm. They played them both at home. They lost to both of them. So I don't love that. They were winning a lot of games down the stretch. They did exceed the win total they were pacing for, but it was a lot of Brooklyn and Utah and
Charlotte.
San Antonio, Charlotte, Washington. I mean, it was a lot of that. So I'm not going to say they're not battle-tested, but the two best teams they faced in the final stretch, they lost to both of them. They weren't the best seed in the East, never mind the best team in the NBA. So, no, I'm not overly happy with their regular season. I think they underachieved to a degree. That said, that doesn't preclude them from winning. I'm not saying they can't win
because
of it. But let's look at their regular season and, you know, grade it for what it was. I mean, I think they underachieved on the regular season, even knowing that I think they've only won 60-plus games. I think this is the 15th time in franchise history. It's not something that they do every single year. It's not routine.
Right.
I still expected more out of them in the regular season. I at least expected them to win the East.
Yeah, and for everybody that says, well, they won it, and, you know, they take everybody's toughest challenge, like, there's examples like the Golden State Warriors that the following regular season after they won their first title, they actually set a record, an NBA record for regular season wins. So even though everyone's gunning for you, you almost had the sense last year, pre-title, teams kind of treated them that way, right? Like, there were a lot of times where I think because they had been to so many conference finals, you know, they had been to the finals 2 years prior to that, people did use the Celtics as a bit of a measuring stick. And I also look more at the win total and comparing that to history than I do them finishing in second place, because what if Cleveland won 58 games? You'd be like, well, they're in first place. I'm like, yeah, but I just thought, like, historically, they'd be closer to those mid-60 win teams than where they ended up finishing, which was still a little bit better than what the pace was set a month ago.
Yeah, it's fewer wins than last year, though.
It is.
And, you know, you can look at it on the one hand charitably. Like, I see the text line, 617-779-7937. They were a better road team. True. I mean, they were historically one of the best road teams in NBA history.
There's a yin and a yang to this, though.
They also were a poor home team.
Right.
You know, based on championship-level standards, we've looked at this a bunch of times over the course of the year. If they're going to win a title, they'll have the second most losses at home of any team that's ever won a championship.
Good news for them, though. They'll be on the road for a game 5 and a game 7 against Cleveland and Oklahoma City.
So, yeah, I just think they underachieved. Doesn't mean they had a bad regular season, but they underachieved based on what I thought. They're worse than a year ago. And even getting to 60 wins, Keith, you tell me if this is a good or bad stat. I saw Terp tweeting about this over the weekend. This is the 15th time they've won 60-plus games.
15th?
Yes. Yeah, so okay. 14 previous teams have done it. I believe they won a championship. Terp, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they won a championship half the time. 7 out of the previous 14 won a title. Is that good or bad? Is that a high hit rate? You have a 50-50 shot winning.
You can legit argue either side of that, can't you?
But I'm saying for this team right now, knowing that in their franchise history, 60-plus wins, and I'd imagine a lot of it goes back to Bob Cousy and, like, another NBA. But 60-plus wins, you have a 50-50 shot at winning a title. Like, I was kind of hoping their odds would be a little higher.
I'll choose to think that's a good sign, because I feel like in some of those other years, there might have been players like, Magic Johnson in the league, where I don't think as good as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is and as good as Donovan Mitchell are, I think maybe the level of competition isn't as steep as it was in some of those years. Because they probably won, I can look this up. In the 80s, they probably won 60 games a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't always win it, right? Actually, you know what? Maybe not as many times as I thought. They won it 80, 81, 82. And so they only won one of those. And then they also won 60-plus games, 84, 85, 86. Won two out of those three. So they were also about 500, even like the Bird teams.
So, and a bunch of those teams that did it,
yeah,
you know, came back a year after winning, and they didn't defend their championship.
Right.
So you can do something Bird didn't do,
mm-hmm,
and win back-to-back. 617-779-7937, all your texts there. Jones, you're unsatisfied with 19 out of 22 because the losses came against the best teams in the NBA. Yeah, to a degree. Well, I mean, those are the teams they got to go through.
They're not going
to
play the Hornets in the NBA Finals.
You're not.
I mean, I get your point.
I mean, yes. I mean, they beat who they should have. I guess I understand the point. And early on in the year, they were stubbing their toe against teams that they should have beat. So,
well, because that's what the argument would be, is if you're like, I don't really care that they only won 61 games, but they're, you know, 4-1 against the best teams in the league. It's like, well, they're not. Right, like I think you look at that and you say, all right, so not only did they finish in second place, but Cleveland's not a fake first place team. Oklahoma City's not a fake first place team.
The biggest test they had in the 19 out of 22 stretch, the biggest test they had were against the other two best teams in the league, right? There are three teams that feel a cut above everybody
else.
They
went 2-4 against
on the season.
The Cavs and the Thunder, right?
And they had home games against both of them on one homestand. They bookended it with losses to those teams.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't necessarily feel great about that. I'm picking the Celtics head-to-head against Cleveland. OKC, not so much. And are you nervous? Is it time to get worried about Jaylen Brown and his knee after injections in his knee leading into the playoffs, according to ESPN? You can jump in there. 617-779-7937. We have more draft thoughts on the way at 11:45. We're going to unveil a new segment. We'll give you a player at pick number four.
Ooh.
Or at least in the first round, the Patriots' highest pick. I guess in theory they could trade back. And do you hate that pick or love that pick? We're going to start tracking all these individual players and going into the draft, how Patriots fans actually feel about Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, etc. So we'll do that at 11:45. So we have some empirical data to throw in your face when the Patriots make the pick. And we'll get back to the Masters. Wild finish yesterday. Are you happy for Rory? We'll get to that right after Trending with Billy Lanny.